Let me invite you to open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 6 as we look at that phrase, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the Greek, that last phrase there, deliver us from evil, can equally well be translated, deliver us from the evil one. For all practical purposes, it's one and the same. Satan is the evil one who produces the evil in this world that tempts us. Do you believe in the evil one, the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, Prince of Darkness? He has many names, and yet our society has reduced him to a mythological figure that comes out at Halloween. We see the devil with his horns and his tail and his little pitchfork, and people laugh at the devil because they don't really know the reality behind that cartoon-like depiction of him. We see him in this mythical form as someone who is fairly innocent, someone who's not really dangerous at all. And yet in Scripture, Satan is described as one horrific individual. Jesus believed very much in Satan, and he had much to say about the enemy of our souls. In Matthew 13:19, I'll just give you a few of many. Jesus said, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one. That's a favorite name that Jesus had of the devil. The evil one. The evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. In Matthew 25:41, it says, Jesus spoke of the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't know how many angels he persuaded to follow him when he rebelled against God, but there are legions of them. We know in one man there was a legion of those demons, and Jesus cast them out there on the shore of Galilee. So there are thousands and thousands of these demonic beings that are in our world just out of sight. Paul talks about their reality in the book of Ephesians. Luke 22:31. He talked to Simon Peter. And when Simon rebuked Jesus for his intention of going to the cross and dying, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. That makes me shudder to think that Satan would ever put his focus on me or on one of you with the purpose of sifting you like he sifts wheat. That's a frightening thought. John 12:31, Jesus called him the prince of this world. And Jesus said, he will be driven out. Here, in his prayer, he simply calls him by that name, the evil one. Deliver us. He says, ask God, pray to God, that you will be delivered from the evil one, from his temptation, from him having his way with you in your life. Paul took up where Jesus left off in his warnings about this prince of the demons. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, Paul warns about the defensive qualities that are available to us in the armor of God. And he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Folks, we're battling some pretty frightening beings out there in the evil realms, in the heavenly realms that he speaks of. Now Jude, in his short little book, Jude speaks of caution, and the caution with which we must approach Satan. When he says there in Jude 9, he says, even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. You know, we need to be careful about trying to handle Satan with our own strength and our own power. Even the archangel stood behind the power and the strength and the name of the Lord as he rebuked Satan. So tonight I want us to look at the enemy and understand better what we're dealing with in our battle. Now we are involved in a battle. It's a daily battle, and it is a battle for our souls. The highest stakes possible. The struggles that we all have with our integrity and with our purity and with our self-discipline, that's not just Dale Carnegie stuff. It's not just so we can win friends and influence people and live a nicer, more productive life. We're engaged in an all-out, winner-take-all offensive for our very souls. Satan will do everything he can to destroy us as we move forward in the direction we're moving heavenward. In the Second World War, there were battle rooms. I've been in London, and I've been in that underground bunker where Winston Churchill and all of the leaders there in the European theater met, and the maps are still up there, just like they were as they were involved in the Second World War. And all the markers are still on that map, and the offensives that were taking place and where the enemy was and all the strategies and all the arrows and the troop movements, all of that was being planned out. And tonight, Satan has a well-thought-out plan. He has a map in his war room measuring the incursions he has been able to make and the incursions he is planning in your private life. He's targeted each one of us. We all have a bullseye on our head, and Satan is planning and working and scheming and trying to do whatever he can to cause us to fall and ultimately to destroy us. If you don't realize that you're in a battle, it's going to be awfully difficult to make any advances against Satan. Satan is not some mean little guy in a red suit with a pitchfork. He is someone who does diabolical things. Let me tell you some of the stuff that Satan is involved with in our world. Did you know that he actively and purposefully hinders the work of missionaries? We hold missionaries in high esteem, and rightly so. And we support as a congregation those that are carrying the good news of the gospel to those in other lands. Satan hinders the work of missionaries. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18, "For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan stopped us." Paul was hindered in the things he was trying to do in his missionary journeys, stopped by Satan. People that we support in this congregation, the missionaries whose names are back there on the mission board, all those that we pray for on a regular basis, and we do all we can to encourage. Satan works to close the very doors that we pray that he'll open. He is opposed to everything you and I stand for in the proclamation of the gospel. Something else Satan does, he thwarts our evangelistic efforts in our Bible studies. We're always encouraging one another in this area. And we've seen great fruitfulness lately in the Bible studies. And we've seen several who have come to Christ as a result of our outreach efforts right here within this church family. In Mark chapter 4, verse 15, we read, "Some people are like seed." Jesus is describing this in the parable. "Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them." I've seen that happen. I have seen people that I was studying the Bible with who were initially excited about it as they began to see the reality of what we're looking at. I've seen them just go cold. And there's no other explanation other than what Jesus has offered here, that Satan comes and snatches away those things. Satan doesn't want to see your children come to faith. He wants to undermine every Christian value that you have worked hard to instill in the lives of your children. He wants to turn them away from the things that you value most highly. Thirdly, Satan is the architect of every lie that has ever been told. Jesus called him the father of lies. He is the origin of every liar that has walked the face of this earth. He is the one who creates falsehoods and who insinuates falsehoods into our minds. And you just think, because of lies that have been told, think of the damage that has been done on this earth. Think of the hearts that have been broken because of liars that have spoken untruths. Think of how much trust has been displaced because of unfaithful, untrustworthy, lying individuals. Think of how much pain has been caused because of lies that have been told that were believed by people in their innocence. Satan makes promises every day that he has no intention of keeping. Now, I don't know about you, but I detest that kind of an attribute in anyone. And to see Satan spewing lies, the father of all lies. Another thing about Satan, he is the mastermind of all that is truly evil in this world. That word is not used lightly, I don't believe, by Jesus when he calls him the evil one. I would be hesitant to place that word on very many people. I would think of a handful of people, people like Hitler, that I could describe as someone who is genuinely evil. It's frightening to be in the presence of anyone that could be categorized as truly evil. Most people I know might be a bad person, or they may even be criminal in nature. But to call someone evil, and yet Jesus freely and frequently called Satan the evil one. He is the one. He is the ultimate in evil above all others. Now, I could catalog things tonight, and I'm not going to do it, because there are things in this world that are so horrible that I don't even want to talk about them. I don't even want to think about them. And occasionally we'll hear stories, and it just is a shock to our sensibilities. And we cannot believe that any human being could sink to such a low level. Who enjoys tormenting some poor man with a horrible disease and causing him to suffer and writhe in anguish? Who takes pleasure in killing the children of an older couple and watching them gleefully as they mourn the loss of their children? Who gets their kicks out of wiping out someone financially? Did you know Satan did every bit of that to Job? Did it without a thought. Did it gladly. Would have done more had God given him permission. What kind of being enjoys the specter of war and famine? We see pictures from overseas that are just so disturbing. And to think that Satan is the one who's in the middle of all that, and he rolls up his sleeves and he enjoys making things like that happen. What kind of creature derives pleasure out of the physical and sexual abuse of little children? You just think. Think who Satan is. Think of who our enemy is. One who derives pleasure out of the things that we consider the most detestable things imaginable. He's cold, and he's calculating, and he is sinister beyond belief. You know, Satan would take every one of us, and he doesn't just want to destroy us immediately. Have you ever seen a cat catch a bird or a mouse? And cats, I know some of you are cat lovers, but cats seem to have this streak in them that, I hate to use the word evil, but they will torture God's creatures before they eventually kill them. Now there are, people like that. And Satan is exactly like that. He not only wants to destroy you, but he wants to enjoy the process. And he will torture an individual. And he will play with that individual. And he will give you enough slack in your chain that you think maybe you're free of this addiction or of this sin. And then he'll yank the chain and bring you back into his clutches and bring you to an ever new low. And he'll keep bringing you down and down and down until finally your life is destroyed. He'll take your very life. He'll take your very soul. He is a torturer and a fiend. The next time you are tempted in some area, in any area in your life where you struggle with sin, and you're tempted to go down that same old road of sin again, you think who it is that you're aligning yourself with. You think who it is who's on the other side of that beautifully wrapped package that looks so alluring. It's Satan's skeletal hand luring you to your spiritual death. And this is the worst of all. It was Satan who prompted Judas to betray his Lord and Master. In Luke chapter 22, verse 3, it says, "Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus." What kind of twisted mind would it take to do that to Jesus Christ? You see, Judas didn't fully understand all the implications. When he did, he went out and hanged himself. Those who stood at the foot of the cross didn't fully understand who it was they were crucifying, and that's why Jesus could pray, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." But there was one person in that whole thing who knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly who Jesus was. He knew exactly where Jesus had come from. And knowing how good and how pure and how selfless and loving Jesus was, he subjected him to the most cruel death possible on the cross. What kind of being would do that to my Jesus? No wonder when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You know, as we've gone through this prayer, and we've seen how we begin with praise to God, and we honor Him for His holy name, and we pray that His will be done in our lives, we acknowledge our dependence upon Him as we pray for our daily bread, we ask for forgiveness in our sins, as we in turn forgive those who've sinned against us. And then we pray this prayer, "Father, please lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I hope you pray that prayer every morning before your feet ever touch the floor, because every day has enough evil in it. And Satan has plans for us every day. I hope, like the fella at the retreat, I hope that we're the kind of people that he talked about when our feet hit the floor in the morning, Satan says, "Oh, bummer, he's up, he's awake." I hope that could be the kind of impact we have on the devil. But we need to pray this prayer and shield ourselves and shield our lives. If you don't ask, you don't get. That's what James says. And how many of us are just open season for Satan because we do not ask that the Lord deliver us from the evil one? God's protection is upon those who pray and ask for His protection. And He's promised that. Don't ever begin a day. Don't ever take a trip. Don't ever begin a new venture without praying this prayer and asking God to deliver you from temptation and from the evil one and from all the things that He is planning for your life. You know, it's frightening to see within our own church family the schemes of Satan and how effective he has been. How many are not here today and who are no longer walking by faith today because Satan has had his way with either him or her, individuals we can all name. And so I pray tonight that we will pray this prayer and that we will live our lives under the protection, under the armor that God provides for us in our daily battle with the evil one. Jesus is more powerful than the one who is in this world. And I am so grateful that we already know the final outcome. We know that victory belongs to Jesus Christ that was secured at the cross, and all those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb are overcomers. Satan may torture, he may tempt, he may try, but he cannot win over those who are in the hands of Jesus Christ. And I want to stay firmly in His hands till my dying day. If you're here tonight and you've never rendered obedience to the gospel, we would encourage you to come forward tonight and confess Him and turn from sin and be baptized and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you're here tonight and you need prayers in the spiritual battles that you're engaged in with the evil one, prayer works wonder. We'll pray for you. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.